In a society saturated with sexualized media, constantly bombarding us from the moment we awaken to the time we retire for the night, we need to realize how it actually affects our body and how it ruins our reality. So in this video, we present to you the teachings imparted by two venerable masters. Part one are the teachings of Torkom Saraidarian, who spent his entire life seeking answers to his questions about the mystery of man and the universe. He explains to us in detail the adverse impact of sexual fantasies to an individual's energetic centers, ultimately leading to destructive repercussions for the body. Part two are the teachings of Dhananjay, a devoted spiritual guru who has dedicated his life to the pursuit of enlightenment. He guides us through an exploration of the various states in which our life force dissipates during arousal, illuminating the profound ways of how sexual fantasies impact our work and ability to maintain focus. If you stick around with us until the end and learn the teachings of these two masters, we assure you that you will think twice before you entertain sexual thoughts in your mind. Sexual fantasies are incorrect notions and misinformation about sex that can lead a person to act incorrectly. Illusions are distortions of the truth that enter the mind and exert control. Incorrect mental imagery and the formation of thoughts about sex create illusions that manipulate one's sexual behavior. When a person's mind is pure and free from illusions, sexual energy can flow through it and provide energy in line with genuine needs and intentions. This kind of individual acts in accordance with their higher nature. However, if illusions persist in the mind, sexual energy becomes distorted and misused. Creative energy flows downward from the head center and is distributed to the seven centers or chakras in your body. This energy fuels the centers to perform their functions. However, if this energy is distorted by sexual fantasies, it is not distributed in the correct proportion, preventing the centers from carrying out their regular activities. For example, the sex center may become clouded by many thought forms. Consider a 14-year-old boy who reads a pornographic book. The boy looks at all the naked girls and sexual pictures and begins to make images in his mind. Those images stay in his mind, and when creative energy is brought through his mind for distribution, those images control the use and function of the energy. Those images will channel the creative energy to the sex center instead of higher centers. When creative energy is associated with sexual imagery in the mind, it stimulates the sex center due to the similarity in frequency. This results in an overwhelming amount of energy, far exceeding what the sex center is supposed to receive. For example, if the sex center was only supposed to receive 20 pounds of energy, it is flooded with 500 pounds of energy, causing the loss of control over that center. When you lose control of your sex center or any other center due to flooding, two things happen. First, the center stops functioning. It becomes paralyzed like a carburetor flooded with gas. When it is flooded, the exchange of positive and negative energies that put creative energy into circulation is distorted in that center. This is why people who were very active sexually sometimes suddenly become inhibited, afraid of sex, and withdrawn. The second thing that happens to a flooded sex center is that it leaks energy into the organs and eventually cracks. This causes the person to engage in excessive sex. Excessive sex drains the energy from the sex center and from the other centers as well. The throat center, which is connected to the sex center, will lose energy. This results in changes in the person's voice, leading to weakness or hoarseness. Consequently, their creative imagination, ability to visualize, and mental powers suffer as their normal source of energy is depleted by the sex center. Using the energy from other centers for excessive sexual activities is like writing numerous checks without having sufficient funds in the bank to cover them. You are literally bankrupting yourself. Once the throat center has been drained, energy departs from the heart center, followed by the solar plexus, and eventually, the head center. The depletion of the head center can lead to severe illnesses. The base of the spine center is connected to the kidneys. When excessive sexual activity causes energy leakage from this center, it weakens the kidneys. The effects of drain centers surface at different times for different people, depending on many factors. One factor is the capacity of the cells and organs to continue functioning. Another factor is how strong and pure the cells and organs were to begin with. If you are very healthy and have lived a good life up to the point of becoming sexually drained, your organs take longer to show signs of decay. Sexual imagination and the reception of sexual thoughts from other people are two ways of polluting our auras. If many men are thinking about a woman and creating powerful sexual thought forms about her, those thought forms go and attach themselves to her aura and begin to influence her life. Slowly, she can be forced to act according to those thought forms. A woman can even become a prostitute as a result of the influence of men's sexual thought forms about her. It is best not to think sexually about other people, as it can create forms in their auras that really hurt them. Because of the images of television, movies, magazines, and advertisements, people are constantly bombarded with sexual thought forms and desires. These thought forms are very difficult to resist. When the sexual thought forms of other people mix with your own sexual imagination, your sex center may become obsessed. The sex center becomes obsessed through imagination and thought, sexually stimulating reading and low-level sexual intercourse, that the door is opened for impressions and thought forms of other people. When your sex center is obsessed with thought forms of other people, it eventually cuts its relation with you, the director. It becomes independent and can attract disembodied entities, living in etheric planes, waiting for the opportunity to enter someone's sex center and thereby gain a vehicle for experiencing sex. Then, obsession turns into possession. You slowly become sexually possessed. We sometimes are slowed down or become crystallized because people project to us certain thoughts. For example, sexual thoughts, hateful thoughts, evil thoughts, or criminal thoughts. When these thoughts are projected into our aura, we feel as though we are swimming in a stagnated pool. I once knew a very beautiful and fiery girl who was studying and doing meditation. She told me she had decided to become a model, and soon after she posed for nude photographs which appeared in a men's magazine. 3 months later, she put away all her books and stopped meditating. One night she called me crying, "I don't want to read anymore. What is wrong with me?" Millions of men were looking at her pictures and directing their sexual energies toward her. She was flooded with their desires, and even though she kept herself physically pure, she was being polluted mentally. I have seen many people who were sexually possessed. They told me, "We can't help ourselves. We can't stop having sex. We want to kill ourselves." It is very difficult to remove an entity from a sex center once it has possessed that center. The best way to prevent such possession is to keep your mind as clean as possible and to avoid creating ties with the wrong people. For example, if you do not want pollution or thought forms of others to follow you, do not touch their hands, hug, or kiss them. Do not drink from the same cup as they do. Such contacts immediately establish a magnetic link through which their thought forms flow to you. When individuals experience nocturnal orgasms, it is either due to the intensity of their sexual fantasies or because someone else is visualizing engaging in sexual activity with them. If someone is excessively involved in sexual activities, I advise them to participate in activities such as running, swimming, painting, or engaging in other creative endeavors. These activities help to release and balance sexual energy and prevent congestion. Movies, television, newspapers, and other publications make your mind such a sewer that you cannot control it anymore. If you become purified from outside stimulation, you become more natural in your attitude towards sex. You will use sexual energy for the betterment and the sublimation of your body, mind, and emotions, and for creating children under the right conditions. Sex used for other purposes will hurt you or stop you on the path of your evolution. Sex energy is a very valuable energy because it proceeds to become vitality, sensitivity in the brain cells, and impressionability in the aura, creativity in the mind, magnetism and healing radiation in the centers. Through it, we provide the materials or substance to build our higher vehicles on individual and global scales. For this reason, it should not be wasted, but should be used for procreative purposes and to create beauty, transmutation, and bliss. When wasted in massive quantities by nations or large groups of human beings, the entire mechanism of human beings or nations cannot respond to creative energies but rather distorts them, causing imbalance which invites destruction. Many nations and groups have been destroyed in this way. People sometimes think that the source of energy is inexhaustible. This is true if you are at a stage in which you do not use the energy for any personal pleasure and satisfaction, but use it only to further the divine purpose. Below this level, your quota of energy is limited. This accounts for the fact that when people feel a lack of sexual energy, they consume more food and use more alcohol or other stimulants to fill the vacuum. Normal or unaroused state, the vital energy is spread over the entire body, in blood, bones, muscle, nerves, giving us energy to indulge in various day-to-day activities. Pranic energy in this state is integral with the entire body in a state of harmony and union. The body is fully geared and the life force is available to perform action efficiently. Based on the kind of activity we indulge in, life force flows to that particular part to perform the action. For example, when an athlete gears up to run a marathon, his life force focuses into his leg muscles. When a boxer is in the ring, his life force centers around his arm muscles. When a chess player in midst of a game, his life force is concentrated in his brain and so on. When man is under sexual excitement, his life force or prana is withdrawn from every part of the body and focused into the sex center. Life energy, which was earlier in a subtle state of amalgamation with his entire being in the normal state, separates from those regions to a large extent and flows to his sex center. Man is now fully geared up to engage in the sex act. Almost all his vital energy, except the basic energy required for his vital organs to function, has now come down to the sex center. Energy is in a state of wait to propel semen out of his system. Note how sexually aggressive a person becomes when he is fully aroused in the sex plane. This is further to all his prana being in a state of sexual focus. In this state, man cannot efficiently indulge in any other activity other than the sexual act. Ask a fully aroused man to play a game of chess. He might not even remember the movements. Semen in this state is the linear gross representation of his prana or vital energy in liquid form. Energy, which was earlier in electricity-like form, has now become physical, embodied in liquid semen. In a man who constantly resides in the sex plane, his prana is mostly in this gross semen form. This is the reason such people cannot effectively carry out any other form of work. The nature of gross semen is expellation. This is called the ejaculatory mode. It cannot perform any other function in this state. Once in the ejaculatory mode, semen can never be fully reconverted back to pranic energy. The sexual glands have already secreted various physical secretions to manufacture gross semen. All these processes are not fully reversible even through transmutation and meditation. There are severe limitations. A considerable volume of vital energy will flow out, immaterial of meditation or celibacy, once it has reached this final gross form due to sexual fantasies. When a person leads a life of true celibacy, conserving all his vital energy and transcending it from its normal state to a highly concentrated, very subtle state through techniques such as meditation, asana, and pranayama, his prana becomes very subtle in nature. Its intensity increases to a great extent. It is akin to gross water being heated and converted to superheated gaseous steam in a distillation plant. Vital energy now has enormous potential energy. It rises up like steam does and reaches his Ajna chakra, or the point between his eyebrows. This is called Ojas state. We must remember that Ojas represents our radiant life force. The full power of this state is said to come to a brahmachari on reaching 12 years of true celibacy, without wastage of even a single drop of semen. His pranic energy is now totally sublimated. It gives him the ability to enter the metaphysical world or astral planes. He can receive astral visions, knowledge of creation, God, and so on. Advanced Urdhvarita yogis get powers such as knowledge of the past, present, and future. Celibates should understand what exactly sublimation or transmutation is all about. Pranayama meditation in reality is not conversion of gross semen into ojas. It is conversion of subtle, normal prana into ojas by preventing the formation of gross semen. If you continuously indulge in sexual activity that brings down prana from its normal state to a lower gross or semen state, sublimation becomes difficult. It must again be brought back to its normal state and then taken to the very subtle or ojas state. At the start of celibacy, when man shuns sex stimuli, his prana or vital energy comfortably rests in the normal or subtle state. Earlier, it was being brought down to form semen. Now that need has been removed. The body stops production of earlier quantities of semen. Initial stages of celibacy do not really involve reabsorption. Most volume of semen in gross form at the start of celibacy actually flows out. It is actually due to the lack of further production of semen that energy levels of an individual increases. This is why celibacy needs to be practiced for more than 3 months in order for it to be effective. During this period, the body is not actually reabsorbing, but rather in a state of non-production and harmonization of existing prana at a subtle level. Additionally, the production of semen decreases while the formation of prana increases, as long as celibacy is true and genuinely practiced. So when we say sublimation of semen into higher forms, it is really sublimation of prana in our normal state into ojas state. For prana to reach normal state, man should desist from sexual excitement, thereby prevent the formation of gross or semen state. In an Urdhvarita yogi, this is fully achieved. His body does not produce gross semen at all. The vital energy required to sustain his body and intellect are fed from that part of his prana. The rest is fully converted to ojas or radiance, glory and freedom from the suffering of the world.